Here tonight, please, Matthew chapter 6, and I want to just read the three verses together, Matthew chapter 6. And that'd be one of those hymns that it'd be great to be singing it when the Lord came, amen. He says we're going to be caught up together with him in the air and the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I can just think that would be a great hymn. And just we're just getting to that point. I'd rather have Jesus than to be a we're with the Lord. Amen. How good would that be? Matthew chapter 6. Let's read together verse 16, 17, and 18 tonight. Matthew chapter 6. And starting in verse 16, we read together. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this time tonight that we're able to come together. We thank you for the singing, Lord, and what a blessing, Lord, it is. It thrills our hearts and encourages us, and we trust, Lord, brings pleasure to your heart. Father, as we look in your word together tonight, I pray that you would teach and instruct us, and may your will be accomplished. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16, 7, and 18, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to work out. We're going to be looking at the Bible teaching of fasting tonight. And it's interesting. I don't know whether you've ever done a study of it yourself, but the Bible is full of fasting, as in from the early chapters in the Old Testament and right down through into the New Testament. And the Bible tells us, of course, there when it comes to fasting, that we're not to be like the Pharisees. The Lord Jesus said they were just hypocrites. They were looking sad and disfiguring their faces that they might appear unto men to fast. And he said, verily, so they have their reward. It's interesting that that was typical of the Pharisees. In verse 1, the Bible says of that chapter, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So he says, when it comes to giving, make sure you're not giving to be seen of men. We ought to give. That's God's plan for us, to give not just money, but our time and our talents and abilities to serve the Lord. But not to be seen of men, otherwise we have no reward of our Father. And then he says in verse 5, and when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so the Lord is wanting to bless, he's wanting to reward us, whether it be in the area of giving or praying or fasting. But we're to be doing it as to the Lord and not as to men. And again, as I've already said, as you look through the scriptures, you find many times the teaching regarding fasting. We want to look at some of those tonight, but you can look at the nation of Israel. There were times when they fasted, they were called to fast. In Esther had a fast there for 3 days and three nights. And Anna in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, her whole service to God was one of praying and fasting and serving in the temple. And we go into the book of Acts and you find Cornelius was fasting. And Hannah in the Old Testament, you go back there and she was fasting before the Lord. Remember Eli rebuked her when she was in the temple and he said that, she'd been drinking too much. And he said, no, it's sorrow of spirit. And she'd been fasting and praying. And And then you come back in the New Testament, you find John the Baptist's disciples were fasting, and they came to the Lord Jesus and said, "How come your disciples aren't fasting at the moment?" And he said, "They will, don't worry about that." He said, "While the bridegroom's here, they won't fast, but when he's gone," he said, "they'll be fasting, don't you worry about that." And so I want us to look at that tonight, and particularly, of course, we've got these meetings coming up with Brother Glenn, and we've got a couple of days set aside to be praying and fasting for those meetings. And I want to see some of the Bible examples of fasting and the reason for it, hopefully, and it'll be an encouragement for us with these meetings coming up. But first of all, in Psalm 35 and verse 13, we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures, but in Psalm 35 verse 13, and David writes there, and I want to say this is perhaps where we're going to start with our thinking about fasting tonight. He says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." And notice what he says here. "I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom." So one of the reasons for fasting is it causes us to humble ourselves before God. David says, "I humbled my soul with fasting." When we're fasting, we're saying, "All right, Lord, I am not going to eat any food or a certain amount of food, or I'm not going to drink a certain amount. I'm not going to do those things, Lord, because I am humbling myself before you. I am coming to seek your face, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And so David here says he humbled his soul with fasting. And by the way, just think about the physical aspects of that. You say, "How long should you fast?" You seek the Lord's face about that. We are looking as a church to fast for a couple of days, the two Wednesdays leading up to the meetings. You may want to fast all next week coming. That's fine. You do that before the Lord. You may want to fast just for 5 minutes on Wednesday. It's probably not a long fast, and you should be able to cope with that. But whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. Amen. Now, we know that there's going to be certain folk who will be fasting on that day, but we're not doing it to be seen of men. Amen. We're doing it to approach the Lord, and number one, we're doing it to humble ourselves before God. And you say, "Well, what, you know, how much should you eat or shouldn't eat?" Again, you work it out before the Lord, what you're going to eat and what you're not going to eat, how many meals you're going to miss. If you're going to miss one, two, you're going to fast the whole day. Again, do that unto the Lord. If you haven't fasted before or haven't fasted very often, then you'll have some interesting reactions come when you fast. One of the things you'll find is that you'll start to get headaches, and you'll start to feel a little bit off and that kind of thing if you're not used to fasting, because your stomach runs by clockwork, and around about lunchtime your stomach says, "I'm hungry, send it down." And you don't send it down, your stomach goes, "Hang on, what's going on here? I'm feeling a bit hungry." And you'll get some interesting reactions. And so you fast and you withhold. If you're not in the habit of it, then your body's going to respond to the fact there's no food coming down. Well, if for no other reason, then that's a good thing, because it'll remind you you're supposed to be praying. Amen. I'm not eating, Lord, because I'm supposed to be praying. And these pains remind me of that. This lightheadedness reminds me of that. This kind of headache reminds me that I'm supposed to be praying. Lord, it's difficult to pray with a headache. And you try it. I mean, you can try it whether you fast and don't have food, or whether you don't have drink. Try not having coffee if you're a coffee drinker. By the end of the day, you'll have a headache and you'll be feeling sick and you'll be going, "Oh, where's the coffee? Just need a coffee." Well, that'll be a reminder that you're supposed to be praying and seeking God's face. Amen. But normally that's how we see fast. And there are other fasts. 1 Corinthians 7 mentions that, between husband and wife. And there are other fasts. But primarily it's saying no to food and drink. Now, be careful. I don't think it's wise to go a great length of time. You can get through a day without drinking maybe fluid. But if you're looking for an extended fast, I think there's wisdom in drinking some fluid. Amen, Nurse Cotton, that's good. But just do that as unto the Lord. But remember, these are some of the things we're going to look at. First of all, David says, "I'm going to humble my soul through fasting. I'm going to get before God and I'm humbling myself before God. Now have a look in James chapter 4. James doesn't particularly speak of fasting here, but there's a principle here, I believe, in James chapter 4. Because when we're fasting, we're saying, I'm coming near, I'm drawing near to God in a special way. I spend my day, I pray without ceasing, I have certain times of prayer, that's my habit to do that. But now through fasting, I'm humbling myself and seeking God's face in a new and a more, as it were, determined way. So notice what James says in James chapter 4 and verse 8 and following. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So when I'm fasting, I'm humbling myself before God, I'm drawing near to God. And when I draw near to God, James says, he will draw nigh to you. And then he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That can describe fasting sometimes. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And so we are humbling ourselves before God. We are drawing near to God, and he will draw nigh unto us. In other words, this is something out of the ordinary. This is more than the norm of praying and reading the word of God and doing those things. And so it's a time to draw near to God. He draws near to us. It's a time to deal with sins. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When you're praying and fasting, if you've got sin in your life, we know the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, Psalm 66, 18, then the Lord will not hear us. So you can fast as much as you like, but if you're not cleansing your hands, ye sinners, and purifying your hearts, ye double-minded, and mourning, then God's not going to do anything. Fasting is not there to twist God's arm, as it were. Okay, Lord, now we're going to fast today, and you get God's arm, put it behind his back, and you start twisting up, saying, come on, answer. No, we're not doing it to twist God's arm. And we're doing it to humble ourselves before God and to draw near to God and then to bring our petitions and the different things we're looking at. Have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses was a man who knew what it was to do some fasting and some praying. In fact, he was fasting very extensively for two periods at least. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 9, when I was gone up into the mountain to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. That's a fast for you. He went 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking. Now that was a special time that he went up there and met with the Lord. And it was at God's instruction. And so he was in the will of God and he was sustained and upheld by God, even though he didn't eat and drink there for those 40 days and 40 nights. I would not encourage you to start your first fast with a 40 day and 40 night no food and drink. Unless you want to get a visit in the hospital and maybe worse than that, then don't do that to start with. This was a special time, but it was a time when Moses was drawing near to God in a very special way. And not only that, God was giving him some very special instruction at that time as well. And so when we humble ourselves through fasting, we draw near to God, then we can expect to have God draw near to us, and we can expect or anticipate that at this time God can give us some instruction about the thing we're praying and fasting about. Notice in the same chapter, in verse 18, the children of Israel have sinned, in verse 18, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which he sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Sometimes our praying and fasting will be, as Moses was, interceding on behalf of others. For another 40 days and 40 nights, Moses is not eating or drinking before the Lord. Why? Because he is interceding for the people. that God would have mercy on them because of their sin and their idolatry. Now, you know, as we're thinking about this, don't just say, well, that was Moses, that's interesting. Ask yourself the question. I ask myself the question. When was the last time you and I prayed seriously and fasted for others? Seriously. Not just, oh, Lord, you know, they've got a problem, please help them or whatever. But seriously got on our face before God and fasted. All right, have a look in Ezra now. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther and Job. Ezra chapter 8. It's another occasion where the Bible speaks of fasting. And Ezra and the chief people have met together and they're looking to move on in the work of God. And verse 21, Ezra said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves." This wasn't just Ezra, this was the people fasting before our God to seek of him, a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So they prepared this fast and they carried out this fast. They were seeking God and they were seeking for God to give them direction, and they were seeking to God to give them assistance in their walk with him. He says, "For I was ashamed," verse 22, "to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this," and notice, "and he was entreated of us." Ezra said, we were in this situation where we had a great need, and he said, "I was too ashamed to go to the world for help." That ought to be the testimony of every Christian. I don't need to go to the world for help. I need to go to the Lord for help. Amen. And in this situation, Ezra called all the people together. He said, "We can't go to the king. We can't go there. That's a shameful thing to do. We've told them the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. How can we now go to the king and say, give us help?" You say, "Why don't you go and talk to your God? You say your God's hand's upon you, then go and talk to him." Ezra said, I'd be too ashamed to go to the king. He said, we need to proclaim a fast. And the Bible says, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Amen. Have a look in Nehemiah, just across a couple of pages in Nehemiah. To the right, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, the Bible says that he was in Shushan the palace in verse 1. And while he was there, one of his brethren, Hanani, came in verse 2. And certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And in verse 4 he says, And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now I wonder again, when was the last time we heard some bad news? This is bad news. Jerusalem is in disarray. The walls are down. The posts are burned with fire. Jerusalem has been flattened by the enemy. And Nehemiah hears about that, and he doesn't go, oh, that's not so good, is it? Need to pray about that sometime. No, he responded by saying, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He did some confession of sin as you read those verses that follow, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. I mean, this wasn't, you know, a 5-minute fast. and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though thereof you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah is doing some serious praying there. He's praying for the people. He acknowledges that they have sinned, but notice what he says, both I and my father's house have sinned. He takes, as it were, his part in this and his family's part in this whole thing. And he's seeking God's mercy, and he's seeking God's help, and he's seeking God's direction about what he needs to do. And he's asking God to work in the heart of the king, because he's about to approach Artaxerxes the king, because he's got in mind that God wants him to get back there and start rebuilding the walls. But before he goes to the king, he's doing this praying and fasting day and night. Now, we don't know how long he prayed and fasted for. It was obviously more than one day and night. Why? Because he was seeking God's mercy and he was seeking God's help. Have a look in Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel was a man who was greatly beloved of the Lord. And notice in chapter 9 and verse 1, the book of Daniel, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He's reading the word of God. God used his word to bring Daniel to this place of praying and fasting. He read in Jeremiah how that God said he would judge the nation through the Babylonians for 70 years, and at the end of the 70 years, he would begin to bring them back and restore things. And so in verse 3, Daniel says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord. And so he went on, and he gives a great confession of sin again. And he realizes that that's what their problem has been, 7 years in captivity because of their wickedness and their sin and idolatry. And now he's praying, prompted by the word of God and the promises of God. He begins to claim those promises of God. And so he's praying and fasting is in regard to light from God and direction from God and instruction from God. In chapter 10 of Daniel, same kind of thing. In verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And so he goes on. So again, Daniel comes to this place in his life where he's seeking some light, he's seeking some direction, he's seeking understanding from God, and so for 3 weeks he's not eating and drinking. He's seeking God's face. He's drawing nigh to God. He's humbling himself before God. You have a look in the book of Jonah. See what took place there in Nineveh when Jonah finally got right with God and went down to Nineveh and preached God's judgment. Chapter 3 of Jonah. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach under it the preaching that I bid thee. What had God said? God said, you go down there and tell them, because of their wickedness and because of their idolatry, that I am going to destroy them. Well, Jonah went down and delivered the message. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He said, good news, God's going to wipe you all out in 40 days. That was kind of his attitude if you read the whole book. And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. The king of Nineveh hears the word of God, the judgment of God, and repented and called the whole city to repentance and said, you all need to come to repentance. Even the animals are not to eat or drink, and we're going to call upon God. We're going to humble ourselves before God. We're going to seek God's face, and we'll turn and see if God may withhold and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. I mean, there's some serious praying there. That ought to be enough to get people praying, shouldn't it? God says, 40 days and I'm going to wipe you out. If that doesn't get you praying and fasting, nothing will. But they did that, and God heard, and so they sought God's mercy, and God was merciful toward them. You have a look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. There are many passages we could look at. We're just looking at a sample of them tonight, just to get an overall view of some of the issues that men and the nation prayed about and groups prayed about in Acts chapter 13. In verse 1, now there were in the church, there was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, notice that, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here they are, the church here, the early church, seeking God's will and seeking God's face and looking for direction. And so they fasted, and they fasted and they prayed. And while they were fasting and praying, the Spirit of God gave them direction and said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Praying and fasting, fasting and praying. Very important, very important. We're humbling ourselves before God and drawing near to God and seeking God's will and seeking God's mercy and seeking God's forgiveness and seeking God's instruction. Come back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The story is well known about the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And so you can read the rest for yourself. But in times of conflict, in times of testing, sometimes we need to pray and fast. If the Lord Jesus needed to pray and fast, how much more do you and I, in a sense, need sometimes to fast and to pray and seek God's face and seek victory through the Lord's strength and enabling. And so when the tempter came and the temptations and the devil came to try and cause the Lord Jesus to turn from the will of the Father, then he was in a place to deal with that because he'd been praying and fasting. And then, of course, he answered him with the word of God. But there are times of conflict, times of testing, that you and I need to do some fasting and praying. We're getting serious with God. We're not just shrugging it off. We're not, oh, well, that's just the way it is. I'm just defeated. I can't help it. No, you need to get down on your face before God. You need to do some fasting and say, Lord, I'm not getting victory in this area. For some reason or other, the devil is defeating me. For some reason or other, these temptations keep overcoming me. And, Lord, I need to get right with you. I need to, Lord, look to you. I need to you, Lord, to give me the strength and the ability to have victory in my life. There's no reason for any Christian to be defeated and stay defeated. It's one thing to be defeated, but stay defeated. Well, I just struggle. Well, get down on your face before God, stop eating, and start praying. Amen? And look to God to do something. Well, what's he going to do? Well, read these examples and find out what he'll do. He'll answer. He'll give you some instruction. He'll give you some power. He'll give you some victory. He'll give you some enabling. Have a look in Matthew 17. In Matthew chapter 17, what I call a classic teaching about fasting. And verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Lord, what was the problem? We've been casting devils out. You remember, they came back, the 70 at one time, rejoicing that even the devils were subject unto them. But now here's one they couldn't deal with. The disciples couldn't deal with this one. Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Your problem's unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Sometimes you think, well, I've only got a little bit of faith. Well, maybe try a little bit of fasting and praying, and you might find God will increase your faith. He said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Some things are not going to happen unless we pray and fast. I believe that's what the Lord Jesus is saying there. Some things, you disciples, will not take place. If we're going to have victory and we're going to know God's will and God's mind and God's direction, there are going to be times that if we don't pray and fast, we'll be sitting there like the disciples sucking our thumb and going, how come we couldn't do that? Why hasn't God done something here? We'll ask ourselves the question, have we truly prayed and fasted? Because the Lord said, how about this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Some things, for whatever reason, God has chosen to do it that way, but some things require us to pray and fast. Zechariah 4:6, the Bible says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I think sometimes we go into battle in the flesh and wonder why we can't win. We go in thinking we've got the answer, and we wonder why we're like the disciples. We're sucking our thumb and saying, how come we couldn't get that devil out? The Lord says, because you didn't pray and fast. You know what that tells me about the Lord Jesus' own life? That he'd been praying and fasting. He said, that kind doesn't go out except you pray and fast. Now he, as the perfect man, was the perfect example. And he could say to the disciples, you need to pray and fast. And I don't think any of them said, well, you don't do that. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. They knew that the Lord Jesus prayed and fasted. The Apostle Paul, in his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, in fastings often. So how come he was such a success? Well, it was God's power, it was God's enabling. Yes, yes, all sorts of reasons we could give. But part of Paul's success was that he was in fastings often. Often. Think about it. Ask yourself. I need to ask myself. Don't worry, this is very searching for me. When was the last time you and I seriously prayed and fasted about anything? Seriously. I mean, like we got down as Daniel did, or we got down like Nehemiah did, or we got down like Moses did, or we got down like the king of Nineveh did, or we got like the early church in Antioch. When did we really get serious and say, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to seek your face. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm coming to you till you show me and give me the victory, until you give me light, till you extend mercy, until whatever it is we're praying and fasting about. Again, I want to encourage us this week on Wednesday and the following week on Wednesday. We're putting that down as a day of praying and fasting as a church. You do what the Lord would have you do, all right? You say, I'm not going to fast those days. That's fine. You do that as unto the Lord. You say, I'm going to just miss breakfast. That's fine. You do that. You say, I'm not going to eat all day and drink all day. That's fine. You do that. Do it as unto the Lord. But let me encourage you, if you want to get into the blessings of what's going to take place, then do some praying and fasting. And you say, would it be all right if I fasted more than one day? That'll be fine. That'll be okay. I'm sure the Lord won't mind. You say, I know Pastor Cotton said only one day, but, you know, that's okay. Be encouraged. Some things only go out by prayer and fasting. Some light from God only comes through prayer and fasting. Some of God's mercies only come through prayer and fasting. Direction sometimes will only come through prayer and fasting.